God to bless the ministry in Kathmandu. Pastor Rajan is an amazing saint. I know he would tell you he's just another guy, but I mean, if you could know all the stories, it's amazing. So this is a good segue between our study in Acts. We talked about key men, key cities, key men, key message. That's exactly what you just saw illustrated here. And that's why we're putting Bibles together this week, so we can get the Word of God where it needs to go on time. So we're excited about that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for Pastor Rajan this morning. We pray, God, that you would bless the ministry of Kathmandu. We pray, God, for the Jesus film that needs to go out. Lord, he's got four new projectors that are, he needs $300 a month just to get people to go preach the gospel to literally unreached people. People have never heard the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray for that. We pray you help support those things and the orphanage as well and the radio program, Lord, and also the Bible college. And of course, that's most important, to equip the saints of God and the Word of God to accomplish the mission of God and the power of God for the glory of God. And so we're so glad this morning we are partnered together to do that. And I pray our brother comes and he needs financial support, but he asks for prayer. And Lord, we can offer that as a sacrifice to you this morning. And Lord, we pray, God, that you would answer the prayer of Pastor Rajan, that you'd answer the needs of these orphans, and you'd answer the needs of these in the mountains that have never heard the gospel, and you'd answer the overwhelming needs in places like Nepal and around the world. As we come together this week to put the Bible together, we know it is the Word of God that allows us to do all the things that you called us to do. Lord, we are so thankful for your provision. We have not because we ask not, or because we ask amiss. And Lord, we know it is your will to get the gospel where it needs to go. And we pray, God, whether it's assembling Bibles this week or sending them or sending faithful men to teach others also in key cities and key countries and key places to key peoples. Lord, we pray, God, your hand would be upon it and your mighty power would bless that. We thank you and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you for being here this morning. If you're here and you're joining us live on Facebook, we are glad that you're with us. This is our 2019 Bible Conference. This is an incredible time. So this year we're focusing out of the book of Philippians. If you have your Bibles, turn to Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to be looking at verse 16. Pastor just showed us a verse in verse 15, so we're going to pick up the text in verse 16. And this is our 10th annual Bible conference, so we're excited about that. I pray everybody is going to be able to be here all week long. We're going to need all hands on deck this week to accomplish the mission of God. And I want to especially thank Randy Foster and Terry Ogle and the Word First Bible Publishing team and all the people that jumped in to get things ready for this week. Already there's been a lot of work over the weekend to get things going, so I'm thankful for that. Thankful for everybody who's already pitched in. This week. So this week we're going to have a great lineup. You'll want to be here. Tonight you'll hear Pastor Randy Foster. Tomorrow night you'll hear Pastor Tony Godfrey. And also you'll hear Pastor Tom Brockmeyer from Harvest Baptist Blue Springs and then Pastor Mike Blake. So you'll hear different pastors. But those guys are here to just take a break. The main activity, I mean, don't get me wrong, we want to get the Word of God in all of us and get us going. But we got to put Bibles together too. So we need you here more than just during those service times. At 6 o'clock tonight and then 6:30 Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. We need you here throughout the day, 8 to 10 p.m. It's going to be rocking and rolling around here as we get the Bibles across the presses. So I've asked you to turn to Philippians chapter 2. In addition to what we're doing here, this is pretty exciting. I know there's a big game going on today. There's a lot of attention on a guy named Pat Mahomes. Right? Everybody wants to know, what's he going to do? Well, not everybody. Some of you guys want to know, what's he going to do? Some of the folks that want to know aren't here because they're trying to figure that out right now. But at any rate, it seems like a big deal, right? But you know what's interesting about that? If the Lord tarries, you mark my words, the Lord tarries, which I don't think he will, but if he were to tarry for 50 years, there will be people going, Pat who? It's going to come and go. People aren't even going to remember. I mean, that's like Fran Tarkington who? Right? I mean, some of you old people, older people, I just offended a lot of people. that was a slip. Forgive me, Lord. So go ahead, stone me now. All right. So Fran Tarkington, right? Fran Tarkington, Johnny Unitas, Lynn Dawson, right? You know, he's from Kansas City. But it won't be too long. People will be saying, Lynn who? Where are they now, right? And then before long, people won't even be asking that anymore. Who were they? Where were they? It doesn't matter. Who's the next Pat Mahomes, right? And so that's really kind of how it is. But when it comes to the Word of God and what we're doing around here, I really want to, if I can do anything in the time I've got I just want you guys to get this. What we're doing has an eternal impact, and what we do or don't do has an eternal impact. What we do or we don't do has an eternal impact. The results of faithfully holding forth the Word of God will be felt in time and eternity. And I want to encourage you this morning, because what's going to go happening today at the stadium, 70,000 people will be yelling and screaming, 2 million people in the metro, whatever, people across the nation, because everybody loves the Chiefs. Right, everybody's going to be, they're going to focus on that today. But there's more important things going on, literally, and I'm not embellishing, I'm not trying to be, put things out of proportion. What we're doing here today, and what we're doing here this week, has eternal consequence. And you may not see that, right? Because there's 70,000 people screaming. There's 2 million people yelling. And there's a lot of excitement about a lot of stuff. But I'm telling you, if you just look in the Word of God, you'll find that is fleeting. That is fading. And guys, you know, I like the Chiefs too. Right? So I'm not against the Chiefs. Go Pat. But this is the thing. At the judgment seat of Christ, man, I tell you guys, what we're doing here, it's something. It's going to mean something. When Pastor Rodden says, I know you're praying for me, what is going on in places like Nepal and many other places that we could talk about, we don't have time this morning, where some of these Bibles are going that we're going to be assembling this week, has eternal consequences. And not just people in stadiums standing up and shouting, literally angels rejoicing. When some crazy man gets saved from reading the scripture, And a Brahmin notes it and says, what happened to you? How did you get in your right mind? I read this book. And then he can't sleep for a week until he reads that book. That is the power of the Word of God. You said, Brian, I didn't think you were charismatic. Well, I am when it comes to Jesus doing his work through his Word. We got a testimony right here. God just used the Word of God. The Word was there first. Before there were missionaries that could get in there, we couldn't get there until 2008. There had to be a revolution the last Hindu monarchy had to be turned over before we could get access. But God was already working. Why? Because the Word went first. That's why we have Word First Bible Publishing. And that's why when we look at our text this morning and Philippians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul says, hey guys, it's so important to hold forth the Word of life. So let's look at our text this morning, the book of Philippians chapter 2. I'm not going to read all the text. This is the text from which we do take our vision for HBF. I don't have some alternate vision. This is the vision as we started the church. It's Philippians chapter 2. We got a mission already, right? We just, Matthew 28, we know that. But this is the vision. And I'm just going to pick it up in verse 12. The Bible says, as Paul's writing to the Philippians, he says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, and not in my presence only now, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. What is Paul saying there? He's saying, take your salvation seriously. Make it personal. And he goes on to say, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Now, he's talking to a church, and he's also talking to individuals in that church. God is working in us, and he's working in our church, and he's working in our churches. Verse 15, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Couldn't we fulfill that verse? By God's grace, we can. And then here's the verse for this morning, the verse for our theme. What is a church that is blameless and harmless, who understands 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, understands what the indwelling of the Holy Spirit does in someone, transforming us into the sons of God? What is a church that is blameless and harmless, redeemed, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, do? Well, we shine as lights in the world. Well, how do we do that? I'm glad you asked. Verse 16, holding forth the word of life. Semicolon. What's the consequences? What's the results? Let's talk about the results, because Paul mentions them there. That I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. The Apostle Paul is saying, what you do with the Word of God, impacts my future. Not just the future of his life on this earth, but after he dies at the judgment seat of Christ, was his sacrifice, was his investment profitable or not? Now, we would all today say, well, of course it was. Look at what God has already done. But that's not the question. The question on the table this morning is not what has God already done. The question on the table this morning is, what is God doing in our lives today? What is God doing in this church today? And what is that? How is that extending the mission of God that was given to us through the Apostle Paul from the Lord Jesus Christ to this very day, to this very church, to this very time, to this very life, in my case and in your case individually? We've got to take it personally. Are we working out our salvation with fear and trembling? Are we shining like we ought to be shining? Are we holy and are we blameless? Are we what God has said that we should be this morning? I pray to God that we are, because we're attempting to hold forth the word of life. And so Paul makes it very clear in this passage in the Philippians that the faithfulness of the Philippian church, and you might say the same for this church, gathered at the annual Bible conference, and the churches gathered at the annual Bible conference, is directly related to the investment of those who have come before us. We didn't just wake up one morning and boom, here we were. Right? God has invested in this local church from the first day till now heavily. But before I even got to this town, there were people investing in this field. Before I was born again, right? And before the people who led me to Christ were born again, God had a plan and he was working it. Because faithful men and women have been working the Word of God. They've been holding forth the Word of God. They've been praying on the Word of God. They've been reading the Word of God. They've been living the Word of God. They've been doing what God has called them to do by faith, trusting God for the results. All right, so let me give you three things, and I'm going to try to get this in and get out as fast as I can this morning, so you're going to have to hang on for the ride. Philippians 2:16, holding forth the Word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Heavenly Father, I pray a blessing to the reading and the hearing of your word. I pray, God, you quicken the spirit in myself in this church and all the churches represented, and in this project that we're doing, the 9,300 Bibles plus, that they had multiplied beyond what we ask or think for your honor and glory, for your kingdom's sake. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the great Apostle Paul, he makes it clear that the investment is directly related to the obedience of the Philippians. Now consider this, that Paul is saying that if you do the things right, without murmuring and disputing, holding forth the word of life, I will be rejoicing. I'll be rejoicing in the day of Christ. That's pretty heavy though, because if you consider if you don't do that, what will happen? Well, he'll be grieved. Can you imagine if it was a Where Are We Now series on the millennium? Paul's saying, man, they almost crossed the finish line in Harrisonville, but they dropped the ball. They fumbled it. Wouldn't that be a bummer? Man, I don't want that to be said of us. I want the Lord to say, you know, that was a good investment in HBF. Those folks took the Bible seriously. They took the mission seriously. They took the vision seriously. And they did what they were called to do by faith. By faith. In the time we have left, I want to encourage you in three things to help us realize the results of faithfulness to God's word. Number one is obedience. Number two, it's going to be manifest in righteousness. And number three, in holiness. So let me talk about the first one. The result of faithfulness to God's word is manifest in obedience. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 16, the word obedience isn't mentioned, but it is mentioned in the text. We'll talk about that in just a minute. But before we do, I just want to touch on a few things that you already know about obedience. Number one, John 14:15 says, if you love me, what do? You keep my commandments, right? That's being obedient, right? That's part of what God wants from us. A child learns that from its youth, right? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. They need to obey. They need to honor their parents. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, the scripture says, and why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? We say, oh, Jesus, you're my Lord and Savior. But truly, that's a lie if we don't do what he says. Jesus tells us to preach the gospel. That's not optional. You say, well, I don't have the gift of evangelism. Who cares, right? Some do, but we're all given the gospel. You have the gift of eternal life if you're born again, so you do have the gift of the gospel. Give it to somebody else. See how easy that is? Jesus says, listen, I'm going to question your submission to me if you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do what I say. Right? I mean, that's just common sense. Paul mentions to the Philippians that they had a great track record in regard to this. If we were to back up to verse 12, which we read earlier, he says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have occasionally obeyed." Is that what it says? No. He says, "Always." Man, wouldn't that be awesome if that's what God says of us? You're that son. You're that child of God that when God looks down, he's like, "Oh, there's Brian. He always obeys." Or does he look at you? Does he look at our church like, "Well, no, they don't really obey. They do what they want to do. They're self-willed. They're temperamental. They're not all in. They call me Lord, Lord, but they really don't do what I say. They don't really love me, because if they love me, they would keep my commandments." And you can take that as far as you want to go with keeping my commandments, because today people are letting go of the word left and right. Why did we do that? Why would we want? Because, well, Jesus Christ is in us. Salvation, right? Not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Jesus hasn't been here physically for 2,000 years, but he's left his word, he's left his church, and he's left his spirit. How serious do we take that? I think we take it pretty seriously. I hope so. Amen. Thank you for being responsive. I like that. So the Philippians, they were noted. Check it out. Now, they were noted for that. They were noted for being folks that they obeyed. Always. If you want to please the Father, obey the gospel. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not saved. You need to be saved. The Bible says in 1 Peter 4:17, "For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them be that obey not the gospel of God?" If God's calling out the redeemed of the Lord, say amen. Amen. Right? He's calling us out. But what if he's calling us out and he's holding us accountable, what's he going to do to those that aren't saved? Today's the day of salvation. You know, the age of grace does have a conclusion. Just like every man's life and every woman's life. You may think, "I'm going to live forever." You can think that as long as you want, but you will not live forever in this physical body. You can live forever in a glorified body if you get saved. Or you can choose to live forever separated from God in a place called hell if you choose not to get saved. But at the end of the day, it's in your hand. You have to make the decision. So follow the example of obedience found in the Word of God. The Philippians were obedient. And in chapter 2, in verses 1 through 8, he says, If there be any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, any bowels and mercies, fulfill you my joy that you might be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look every man on his own things. I'm sorry, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And then he says this, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So the Philippians had inherited the nature and followed the example of their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He says, I need you to be of unity of mind. And he says that you need to be of one accord, right, of one mind. And that brings joy to the Lord Jesus Christ as we work together with one accord. This week, I pray that we will work together with one accord as we assemble the Word of God. When we bring the Word of God together, you know what that's going to do? It's going to bring joy to the Lord. The Lord's going to be enjoying what we're doing. Right? That's why He's beholding our steadfast and our steadfast faith and our order. And He, like the church at Philippi, He wants us to do this in a way that pleases Him. I've seen a lot of people lose their joy because they refuse to love God by loving others and working with others. I tell you what, the Lord's Supper is coming up next week. Let's not wait till next week. Let's get ready now so we can assemble the Word of God. We can go into the Lord's Supper next week celebrating all that God's doing. So what we need is unity of mind. Unity of mind. That's why he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. In verses 3 and 4, he says, now don't let anything be done through strife or vainglory. Nothing that we do should be done in vain. That's again what the subject of what Paul says in verse 16 is, I don't want to have run in vain. I don't want to have labored in vain. You know, that's just empty. You come up short. Isn't it be a bummer if Pat Mahomes gets out there today? I hope I don't curse anything here. You go four quarters and then in the last minute, the last 30 seconds, bam, you lose. All that labor is in vain. invested in vain. Anybody been there? Yeah. Beloved, that's why we invest our lives in the Word of God. Because, you know, the real truth is, even if you win, it's in vain. If you're not winning Christ, man, it's the wrong battle to fight. I'm not getting nothing wrong with having a good time playing some football, but it is just a game. This is the real deal. The real deal. Excuse me. He says, I want you to have fellowship of the Spirit and bowels, heartfelt mercies of God. Will we esteem others better than ourselves? Will we will not look at our own things? What's in it for me? And how we can help other people? How can we advance the ball forward, so to speak? Our minds should match the mind of the Spirit of God who lives in us. Now let's pick it up in verse 5. Because he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Well, what mind is that? Well, let's see. Verse 6, it says, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wow. That's what it means to have a mind that matches the Spirit of God right there. After Jesus did exactly what we just read, he resurrected and he called his disciples together and he says, okay, guys, this is what I need you to do. I need you to keep following me, even though I'm not going to be here. Everything I've taught you, everything I've said, everything I commanded you, I'm giving to you. And by the way, that is now in the form of this book. Lo, I come in the volume of a book. It is written of me. Now I need you to take these precious promises, these commandments, and I need you to invest them in others. Yeah, they need to get baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things. All things are now here. All things whatsoever I've said unto you. And lo, just in case you missed it, lo, I am with you always, even till the end of the world. Well, do you see the 12 apostles hanging out around Cass County? I don't. I've never seen them out here in Cass County. I've never seen them in Nepal. I've been around a few places. I've never seen the 12 apostles. I've never met the apostle Paul. But the Bible says that, lo, Jesus is with us always, even till the end of the world, and we're to still be doing what the mission was given, keeping the commandment of God as it was given in the first century. So I suspect that then falls upon us, doesn't it? So the Philippians, man, they had a lot on their plate. After Jesus did all of that, it could be that some of you have decided you can no longer live up to the standard that God has set for you. You're just like, Brian, I'm telling you, I love it. I love to hear about it. I love to think about it. But let me just tell you, brother, I can't do it. I just can't do it, man. It's just too much for me. And you quit trying. And you just went back to fishing. Right? So your default mode is, you know, going back to finance, going back to teaching, going back to construction, going back to homemaking. Or maybe it's worse than that. Maybe it's something a little unhealthier. Maybe it's just settling to play church, checking in, doing the bare minimums, getting along and forsaking time in the Word of God daily. Doing the things that transform our lives, our attitudes and our actions into the very image of Christ. Jesus is standing and he's at the door and he's knocking and he's calling this morning. He says, would you open your heart? Would you allow me to be the Lord? Not just saying it in words only, but would you allow me to just speak into your life? Would you respond to the command that I'm calling you to do? This morning, if you're saved, I know the Spirit of God because He lives in me. He is calling all of us to action in some fashion. He's calling all of us to not be complacent. Maybe it's to stop something that we're omitting and engage in something. Maybe it's to do something, right, that we haven't been doing. I don't know, but God calls us to respond to His Word. And He calls us to be faithful. And we know that there is more as He transforms our lives and our attitudes day by day by spending time in the Word of God. So the long and short of Jesus' meeting with Peter back in the book of John is really found in Philippians 2, 5-8. He's like, hey, Peter, listen, man. I didn't die on the cross and resurrect so you could go out and fish in the Galilee, man. Get over here, let's have some food, and let me get you back on track. Because I've saved you to be a light in the midst of a nation. The nation that Peter was to be a light in happened to be Israel. But God has saved you, beloved. He saved me, beloved, to be a light in the midst of this nation. We literally are geographically in the midst of the nation. God has given us every opportunity to fulfill this. So the rewards are out of this world. Why did you do that? Well, verse 9 told us why we did that. Because, man, it's Jesus was highly exalted and given a name which is above every name. Man, the gain outweighs the pain. That's the truth of the matter. The reason that people serve the Lord Jesus Christ, like Pastor over here serves the Lord Jesus Christ, the reason that he was willing to give up his status is because he really believes that there is a greater gain that was worth all the pain. The reason my brother was able to see his children go to an orphanage for a while because they couldn't feed is because he believed Jesus was worth it and that God then restored that. I'm telling you guys, there's some serious Christians in the world that just need a Bible in their hands. You say, man, I'm not up to being that great spiritual giant. Okay then, fine. Just take an afternoon off work early and come in here and put some Bibles together, for goodness sake. Would you just do something to help the kingdom go forward and see what God will do with it? You will be shocked in eternity when you put a Bible together by faith, when you pray over the scripture by faith, what the Lord Jesus Christ will do with his word. He will do the work. He just wants us to get in. He wants us to receive the blessing. The rewards are out of this world. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." I mean, the outward man's getting older, the outward man's getting tired, but the inward man is getting stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. Why? Because we're feeding that rascal. He's not a rascal, forgive me. We're feeding the inner man. We're feeding the Word of God. We're focused on things above. "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal weight in glory." That's why his yoke is easy and his burden is light, because there is eternal weight and glory offsetting all the challenges of this life, all the challenges of broken equipment, all the challenges of things going wrong, all the challenges of all the challenges that come with all the challenges get offset by the glory that will be revealed in us, beloved. That's why we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, right? They're temporary. But the things which are seen, I'm sorry, the things which are not seen, the things that you have to receive by faith, man, I tell you what, they are eternal. And there will be no "where are they now" segment. It will be eternal glory. It will be eternal praise. It will be eternal reward. It'll be worth it all if we're obedient, if we obey always. So this week, maybe we need to sacrifice some time, even some sleep, even money on Wednesday night when we take up the offering. It's actually not going to be easy to pull out 9,300 Bibles. But I tell you what, you will experience consolation of Christ as you pray over the Scripture, as you engage with Christ through and other believers and come together to assemble the Word of God. People from all over the metro, people from the world... And this is not the first time God has worked it out. Remember when the pastor from Togo hears we're putting French Bibles together? He can't stay out of the building for a week. He's got to come and put Bibles together. Why? Because the Word of God is precious to that man. Precious. We're like, oh yeah, I got five of those laying in the kitchen. I got one in the car. I got one that's rotten because I left it out in the rain. Treating the Word of God like it doesn't mean nothing. And I'm telling you, beloved, the words of the Lord are precious. Especially when you don't have them. Philippians 2:17. Yea, Paul says, "And if I be offered upon the sacrifice of service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all." He goes, you know, I don't really care if they take my head off. If they kill me, whatever, man. I'm excited. I'm excited. There's just so much joy going on. I mean, I was writing to the Corinthians one day, and I just told them, man, there is so much eternal weight and glory that you just can't keep a good man down. I mean, there's just too much joy to be had in eternity. I can't let the things of this life, not even death, stop me from being jacked up about Jesus. There is no pain that can stop the gain. It is just too good. So I'm happy. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. Let's have a party going on in here. Right? So we should be putting some scripture together. Woo! Because we know this is getting an eternal reward. And whatever pain, if any, there's going to be a gain in glory. And now you say, Brian, how do you know? Well, that's your problem. I don't know nothing. All I know is Jesus. And that's our problem. You want to get there, you want to know that results before you go by faith. That isn't how you get saved. You get saved by faith. You believe what the Word of God says, and you put all your eggs in that basket because you believe Jesus put all his eggs on the cross basket for your sin. Well, beloved, if you want to see some outward, or you want to see some sort of benefit, now don't get me wrong, there's certainly always a short-term benefit because God's good. And he blesses us. He says, well done. Good job, guys. Stay in there. But you know, sometimes he says, keep pressing. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. I know it's hurting. Keep going. I know it's pain. Keep going. There's a payoff. Keep going. Keep going. Even if you die, keep going. Because the weight is in glory. May the joy of the Lord be reciprocated this week as we work together, even by God's grace, sacrifice together for the glory of God and his work in the kingdom of God. Because the obedience will be powerful when we make it personal. Check out verse 10 and 11. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, the things in heaven, the things in the earth, and the things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. To the glory of God the Father. So will we reckon with the choices we make? Whether you think you will or not, you will. Romans chapter 14 says in verse 10, But why dost thou judge thy brother? Remember, that's what was Peter was like, hey, what's going to happen to... Jesus is like, don't worry about him. What are you doing, Peter? Follow me. But what does that, why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Paul started off saying, hey guys, I don't want to have run in vain. I don't want to have labored in vain. There's a reason the Great Commission is focused on faithful men, not unfaithful. That's hard to swallow in America. I hear it all the time. Whatever. The church is this, the church is this, the church is that. Listen, the church is here to equip faithful people, not to chase people who don't want to get caught. The church is here to equip people who will believe the Word of God. Not to convince people the Word of God is true. It is true. You know what convinces people the Word of God is true? When we believe it. And we do it. And they see the light of Christ in our life. That's what happened to a pastor, his testimony. He saw a man go from his crazy mind into his right mind through a relationship with Jesus Christ. And it was the light of Christ shining from that man's life that caused him to lose sleep for a week until he met the Lord Jesus Christ. Because somebody got a Bible together and got it to somebody in a Hindu monarchy. And God did the work. So man, I tell you, the results of faithfully holding the Word of God is manifest in obedience. So I had two more points I gave you, and I have no more time. So I'm going to condense these really fast because I do want to just kind of touch on this. And maybe some other time, another Bible conference, I'll come back around and hit these. So, but I want to tell you this. In Ezekiel 44:15, there's a priest named Zadok. And Zadok was a faithful priest. Zadok's name means righteous. He was righteous. So our second point is the results of faithfulness to God's word is manifest in righteousness. And when you go through the book of Ezekiel, you'll find that the Spirit of God is moving. And there's a theme around this gate called the Eastern Gate. And I don't have time to get into all the details of the Eastern Gate, but the context of Ezekiel chapter 44 in verse 15 that mentions this man named Zadok and his priest has to do with the fact that there's a time when the Eastern Gate in the millennium, yet future, is closed. And so Ezekiel's seeing the vision of the prophet, and the prophet says, hey, Ezekiel, you want to see what's going on in the temple? The prince, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is yet not yet happened. This is yet actually future. So I'm giving you a preview of what's going to happen. Ezekiel's like, yeah, I want to see it. But he can't get in the Eastern Gate because that's only reserved for the prince to come through. That's what's going to be like in the millennium. And you can see the Spirit of God leaving, going up, descending. I mean, it's awesome. I wanted to lay all that out for you this morning, but another day I'll get into all that. But for the sake of this morning, I just want to tell you this. He goes in the north gate in Ezekiel 44. Ezekiel goes in the north gate, and he sees the Lord in his glory, and he falls down. Boom! He's just like, oh, this is too much. Falls on his face as Jesus Christ is in the midst of a nation that historically has been crooked and perverse, and he is shining as a light in the world, and I mean literally illuminating the world. And then the rest of chapter 44 is interesting because up to verse 14, it talks about the Levites from 9 through 14. And the Levites in Ezekiel 44, verses 9 through 14, are talked about that, hey, guess what? If you were a Levite, you get to serve in the outer court because you weren't faithful in most of Israel's history. But you get to resurrect and you get to serve the Lord in the outer court. So the whole world knows that you were not faithful. But at least for 1,000 years, you get to serve me as you kill the sacrifices in the outer court. Yay! Now, honestly, that is awesome. They get to serve. They get to be close to the glory of God. But, the sons of Zadok, who's this Zadok dude? He's just a priest. He's just a priest that followed David. He's just a priest that was obedient to do what the Word of God told him to do. He was just a priest that never deviated from his calling or his mission. He's just a priest that he and his son set up a pattern all the way through Ezra in the reconstruction of the temple that ended up being the people that when God needed people he could count on. When he says, who's always obeying? When I look down and I see who's always obeying, oh yeah, that's the sons of Zadok. They're faithful with David. They're faithful with Ezra. It's not just Zadok. It's his sons. It's his disciples. It's his lineage. Guess what? I'll tell you what. I'm going to let them come into the Holy of Holies. And they get to serve with me with the holy things. The Levites, they're all Levites, by the way. But they're not all Zadokites. Why? Because somewhere along the way, Zadok and his family decided, you know what? They can go worship on this hill, and they can go worship on that hill, and they can choose to twist the Bible and be critical of the text all they want to do. They can do whatever they want with the Bible. That's their business. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. It sounds like somebody else I knew whose name was Joshua, Jesus. It's no mistake, Zadok was following David, who's literally going to rule on the very throne that Ezekiel's looking at in Ezekiel 44. There is something about being faithful to things above, beloved. And when we put these Bibles together, when we preach this word, when we disciple people, we are being faithful to things above, beloved. And I'm telling you, it will be an eternity when you see the magnificent glory that is revealed through the things that God is doing to those of us who will hold forth the word of God. So, third point, and I'm done. You should know if you've been around here long, the result of faithfulness to God's word is manifest in holiness. Man, and this is with the preacher to everybody in the house. Man, we are, Revelation 1:6 says, and he hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, and to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We are not Old Testament priests. We're not under the law. It's better than that. in 2 Peter 2 and verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth. It's almost like hold forth. Show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Beloved, we don't have to wait. But let me give you some quick advice and we'll be out of here. While you're here, go do a study of 2 Peter. You're going to learn in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11 that while you're here, you need to sojourn. This isn't your home. If you want to be faithful to hold forth the word of life till the day of Christ and make sure the investment of the word of God is not in vain, man, make sure this is not your home. Travel light. Don't get bogged down. Be sincere and honest. Don't get all crusty, man. Make sure that you are dealing with other people, right relationships. People that mock you and make fun of you and make light of what we're doing here. Like, this is no big deal. Oh, Christians are silly. Oh, they're stupid. Whatever. Hey, yeah, that's the general tone toward Christianity today. And some of that we brought on ourselves. But don't miss it, brethren. The Word of God and the mission of God is of the utmost importance in the courts of God. And that's what we're about. And then, of course, we got to submit. Peter goes on to say, submit to every ordinance there, like almost like Romans 13. Make sure that we live peaceably as much as we can and serve. Though we're free to use our liberty as we wish, man, God forbid that we should use it as an occasion to the flesh. Let's serve the Lord. Let's serve others. And then lastly, in 2 Peter 2, 19 through 25, Peter focuses on suffering. You know what? At the end of the day, it's what Paul was saying to the Philippians. He says, hey, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Be willing to lay your life down. Be willing to suffer. So let me give you the last thing I want to mention, and we'll be done. You got a new reason this morning to want to serve the Lord. Sometimes we're like, oh man, that finish line. I just can't wait to the finish line. You know what? Paul was looking past the finish line. He knew he was going to be faithful. He was beyond that. Now he wanted to make sure all of us are. Okay, you're saved. Hallelujah. But who's now going to be saved because you're saved? Woo! That's something to live for. Oh, no. That's something to die for. Peter, you got it going on. But guess what? There's a lot of people who don't. Now follow me. Follow me. What was it going to cost? Everything. And it's nothing in light of what I have for you in eternity. You believe me? Well, your life will prove it out, whether you believe that or not. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to meditate upon these things. And Father, I know I haven't adequately illuminated all of the things I've touched on, but Lord, I pray, God, that your Spirit would do the work that only it can do. And Heavenly Father, I pray that nobody would come to this room, to this day, to this time, to this church,